This podcast is being recorded on Gadigal land. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this country and elders, past and present. We extend our respects to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people that may have joined us for the podcast today. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Zone of Genius podcast. My name is Inez Bai. I am your host, coming at you mostly every week, although sometimes we take a little bit of a break, which I've been doing over the last couple of weeks, because I actually went to Bali. I did a retreat. I solo traveled, faced my fears. If you're following me on Instagram, you will know that this has been a huge moment for me of growth and to just like face my fears. And have you ever heard of that phrase that the only way out is through? This is something that I really freaking embodied in going to Bali. And so I wanted to take you through what happened, why it was so profound for me, and give you the lowdown on everything that went down. So let's get into today's episode. So when people say the only way out is through, I used to be the classic kind of person who would just intellectualize everything, thinking that that was me processing my emotions or that it was actually helping my anxiety. And what I realized about 2 years ago, when my mental health just went on a downward spiral, I stopped being able to sleep. I started having daily panic attacks, and it all kind of seemingly came out of nowhere. Although if I look and reflect on my life up until that point, I had, you know, always experience anxiety. And then that often manifested in like not being able to sleep or trying to control certain elements, which really, when you think about sleeping, that's the ultimate act of control. And so eventually literally out of nowhere, I just stopped being able to sleep and my mental health became really bad. And I started to take anti-anxiety medication for the first time in my life, even though I felt a lot of shame about it as a coach, because I was like, I should be handling this in a better way. Why am I not coping? Why are the tools that I would usually be doing not working? Why am I still having to deal with this, even though I feel like I've been doing this work for ages? And feeling kind of a lot of, shame around why I wasn't being able to cope with it. So I decided to go on medication. And honestly, it was so liberating for me to give myself the permission to take an option that was a little bit easier. And honestly, I haven't had any really big negative side effects from it, except for I remember last year I went to go see Avatar, like Avatar number 2, and I didn't cry and all of my friends were crying. And I was like, maybe that's the anti-anxiety medication. But I gave myself permission to do that because, and anyone that's been in a real spiral with their mental health, or they've had panic attacks or just like constant intrusive thoughts, sometimes, and this is what my experience was, you need the heavy duty stuff to help you to actually get out of your head, to stop the thoughts, and so that you can actually do the work and process what it is that's gotten you so anxious in the first place. And that was definitely my experience. It's kind of like you can't just go from breaking your leg straight into rehab. You've got to actually give yourself time to like heal and put the cast on and have the operation and whatever it might be before you then get back into the gym and start working out your muscles and like rehabbing yourself, right? And I think when we think about that from a physical aspect, like the physical health realm, we're like, yeah, that makes sense. But with our mental health, we can be so fucking hectic on ourselves and make ourselves feel like, I've got to be able to handle it. And why am I not coping better at it? And why is this so difficult for me? So, and what's really interesting about the time that I had my biggest mental health spiral, daily panic attacks, wasn't sleeping, feeling like constantly having intrusive thoughts at that time, and this was 2 years ago, when I launched the Scale Mastermind, it was the biggest launch that I ever did. I had over a $40,000 launch at that time, despite the fact that my mental health was in the pits. I literally felt like I was on the verge of death all the time, which I know sounds really dramatic, but when you're feeling so anxious all the time and you're having panic attacks, it feels like you're going to die. Like it feels really, really, really painful, like not even uncomfortable, like it feels painful. And it's really interesting to me because often people say things like, you've got to be high vibe, you've got to be in an energy of abundance, you've got to be inspired, otherwise people won't come and work with you. And whilst there are certain elements of that that are true, you don't need to be 100% abundant and inspired at all times. You don't need to be feeling excited and inspired to have something of value to share on your social media. And I actually think a lot of people use this as a reason to not show up, not be consistent, not do certain tasks because they're like, oh, my vibes are off today. And then you're outsourcing your power to something that you can't control, which is your emotions or the vibe. And that's what's going to really stop you from being able to consistently post. And at that time when I was feeling really anxious, it really gave me clarity around what really mattered and what was in my control. Because I was feeling so unwell, I was like, I'm just going to get done what I need to get done. And I just didn't have the mental capacity to worry about whether or not I should post this Instagram. Should I sell this thing today? Like, I needed to still do certain things in my business because it's my sole source of income. So I showed up as much as I could. And I really focused on the needle moving activities. And because I wasn't really anxious about my business because I was so anxious about why I was feeling anxious, which honestly just compounded the whole thing, but my anxious, mentally ill girlies will get it. But I remember, like, when I was in that phase of my mental health decline, I was like, when I get out of this and I feel more normal, I feel like my feet are on the ground again, I am never going to complain about a slower month or having, you know, not as many people as I expected in a program or lower engagement, because how fucking cool is it that I get to run this business and work my own job, be my own boss? What the fuck am I worried about? And I think that happens to you when you have an experience that kind of rocks your understanding of how the world works. Like, and you know, this might be across the board, any sort of traumatic experience, or you know, God forbid you experience like loss or you have a near-death experience. I feel like those moments really crystallize to you what's actually important. And I want you to take this away as well of like, when I think about it, and I remember being like in the pits of my anxiety, I wasn't sleeping, I was constantly on the verge of having a breakdown. I was like, who fucking cares if I've just got two clients and I've got enough money to live and I can just, you know, go to a coffee shop and I can do my work. And I remember having this like chat with myself. Whereas before, I was always being like, it's not enough. You're not good enough. You're not doing enough. You're never going to be successful. Like, I was so harsh on myself. But when you're experiencing those real moments of a low, it's like, you just want to go back to what you had and you want to go back to what felt normal and good. And it's not to say that you can't have a big vision for yourself, but now the way that I see my big vision isn't from a place of lack. Like, I'm not like, oh, I want to run a 7-figure business, so therefore what the fuck is wrong with you now? I'm like, I want to have $1 million business, and how cool is it that I'm on the way? How amazing is it that I've already gotten this far? So I'm really seeing it from a place of abundance rather than using my high standards and my drive and ambition as a stick to beat myself with, which is something that I was so conditioned to doing from a really young age. Like, from, that's like the way that my family is very much a, like, they're very about like proactiveness and getting things done yourself and being independent and being self-sufficient. So that just kind of led me down the pathway of feeling like I had to do everything and I was the controller of my destiny or whatever, in whatever way. But like, that doesn't work for sleep, for example. You just have to surrender and trust your body. But the problem was, is that I was so used to just making things happen. And that's been a really valuable skill for business, because I am very proactive. I don't need someone to tell me what to do. If I see a problem or I want to change something, I will get it done. That's not an issue for me at all. My issue, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this feeling that are listening to the podcast, a lot of my clients come to me because we have quite similar like beliefs and experiences, really struggle with that element of like trusting and letting go and surrendering. But when we don't have that, firstly, you're setting yourself up for burnout, just like what happened to me. And secondly, if you really want to, and I was having this conversation with a client the other day, she was like, I really want to know like where my next client is coming from and how it's going to happen, which I totally understand. We try to cling to some form of predictability or certain set and stone like structures, because we feel like that's what gives us safety. But if we feel like that, if we always feel like we need to know how things are going to work in our business and where our next client is going to come from and who's going to pay us next, it's really capping our ability to grow. Because think about it this way, if you're a multimillionaire, if you're running a multi-million dollar company, you're not going to know every day who's signing up, who's buying from you, where your next client is going to come from. That's going to be too much for your brain to even handle. And so that's where you have to allow yourself to surrender. And that's why, yes, we have to show up and do the work and we've got to implement the systems and put in the strategy, but you also have to then be like, cool, I'm going to let the clients come to me. I'm going to let my social media grow. I'm going to allow my skills to develop over time. And that is simply something you cannot rush, because there will always be an element of patience within your business, within your mental health, as you heal, as you grow, as you learn, as you become more proficient, whatever it might be. Anyway, that was 2 years ago. And now my final kind of not the nail in the coffin. What's the more positive of like nail in the coffin? Because this was like a good thing for me. Because I had become so anxious, I really feared traveling alone and being in a foreign country that was a big flight away, because I was like, what if something happens? What if I go insane? What if I have an anxiety attack? What if I end up in like a mental asylum? Not like, I don't even think those even exist anymore. But again, my anxious girlies will understand that that's the depths and the catastrophizing your mindset will do, because it's like always thinking about what the worst case scenario could be. And so that's what I was really nervous about. And I knew that I would always have that fear and I would always wonder what if, unless I went and faced it, because the only way out is through. And I didn't rush myself to do that. This has been 2.5 years pretty much of me working with a variety of different coaches, being on anxiety medication, working with a therapist, doing my own nervous system regulation, understanding how to not just intellectualize my emotions, but also actually process them and dissolve the fear of anxiety. And I'm sure a lot of people can understand this. As soon as they start to feel a little bit anxious, they're like, oh my God, something's wrong. Or if you start to feel, even sometimes our nervous system can perceive like nothingness or being bored or calmness as a threat, because we're so used to the drama. We're so used to feeling stress that when it's not there, we're like, oh my God, this doesn't feel right. Therefore my business is going to fail. Something bad is going to happen. Maybe I should be anxious about something because we're so not used to it. So I really had to like tune my nervous system into a full new frequency that I did not know about. Like my whole family is very high strung. As I said, we're very proactive. We're not a very chill family. Let's just say that. So I knew that at some point in my healing journey, I would have to face the fear, because often, and this is a good thing for you to think about, what is your next move? When I would be going to do like yin yoga classes, which is the style of yoga where you're just like lying on bolsters and basically it's a supervised nap. When my mind would trail off, it would be like, oh my God, what if you need to, you know, what if you ever get stuck alone somewhere? Or what if Georgie, my partner, has to like go away without you? Like, what will you do then? How will you handle that? Will you cope, or will you go into an anxious spiral again? And I put a lot of security and comfort into my partner, because that was the only thing that made me feel like slightly better. It didn't fix me, but it gave me a feeling of comfort, right? And we all have those kind of vices, and mine just happened to be my partner. And for some people, it's like going on TikTok or sleeping medication or obviously drugs and alcohol and whatever it might be. And mine was just like becoming really reliant on my partner in a way that I never have before. Like I have historically been extremely self-sufficient and extremely independent. Like I traveled to Europe when I was 18. I just like took a flight there, didn't even think about anything, booked a hostel. And I remember rocking up to this hostel and being like, wait, what the fuck am I doing here? It was like a really weird feeling. And I just was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just figure it out. I didn't sleep at all because there was a guy in the bed in the hostel. I was in a mixed dorm. Like, can you imagine? I was an 18-year-old girl. I was literally fucking tiny, so naive. There's this guy snoring all night. I didn't bring an eye mask. I didn't bring earplugs because I was so naive. I just like didn't know what to expect. I didn't even really occur to me what a hostel was. I just booked it because that's what all my friends were doing, but they weren't coming until a couple of days later. And I was like, oh, that's fine. I'll just like get this flight because it's cheaper and I'll just meet them in a couple of days. But I just like rocked up and did it. And then since then, you know, I've been to Byron to a business conference by myself. I've been traveling multiple times to Europe by myself. But since having that kind of breakdown 2 years ago, I've just felt really scared of my own mind. And it's been a long journey to heal. And those thoughts and feelings and that way of coping with my anxiety had always been something that I had done, but it really came to a head. And I think for me, when I reflect on my journey with anxiety, it had to almost get so drastic and so intense and dark in order for me to be like, okay, I'm actually going to deal with this. I'm actually going to practice self-compassion. Because I was doing self-care, but I still was really hectic on myself. And I still was very highly critical of everything I was doing. And if things didn't work out, I would beat myself up over it. And so I was doing self-care and meditation, but I wasn't really on a daily practice giving myself that like kindness and compassion, because I still thought that that meant I would not fulfill my potential and I was being weak and I was being a wuss and all of these kinds of things. And what I've really learned now is that you can be driven and you can be ambitious, but it doesn't have to be from a place of being so hard on yourself. And I see it a lot on social media where people are like, you've got to be really fucking honest with yourself. Like, are you being a wuss? Are you like letting yourself just get away with things? And it's like, okay, we all just need to relax, because actually I can guarantee you that any single person who practices self-compassion, not out of a place where you don't hold yourself accountable and you're not taking responsibility for the things that you want in your life, but from a place of like, okay, that didn't work well, or that didn't feel good, what can we do differently? And still being proactive, self-compassion. And like, I even hate the word self-compassion still, because it makes it sound like you're going to sit at home and let yourself sulk and whisper sweet nothings to yourself and be like, that's all good. But it's like, in those moments where like launches don't go well, or you have a conversation with your partner where you feel like you didn't handle it in the best way possible, or you post something on social media and your engagement wasn't good, what is going to serve you more? Looking at that situation and being like, you're such an idiot, why did you do that, what's wrong with you, no one likes you, nothing's ever going to work out for you, aka being really critical? Or, and it feels so radical to practice this, even though it's so simple, but I really remember like when I was going through this healing phase, I was like, okay, what's something I can do that's really compassionate for myself in this moment? Instead of, I'm really tired because I haven't slept and I'm feeling anxious, so instead of forcing myself to do a really hectic gym workout, I'm just going to give myself permission to do yoga at home because that's what feels really good for me. I'm going to give myself permission to Uber Eats dinner because, and these were all things, you know, for some people it's going to be, I need to cook myself dinner to show myself love. But for me, because I was always so stringent on like, you have to do things, you can't buy things, you can't make it easy, you've got to do the hardest workout, you've got to do the hardest thing all the time, the thing that was most healing for me was actually giving myself a little bit more flexibility and kindness. And so those kind of skills have taken my mental health from like in the pits to so much more grounded and regulated. And it's also meant that the way that I show up in my business is so much more sustainable. And I've got a mindset now that can really handle anything. And when I say that, a big thing that happens with people when they're growing their business is they might have like one really big month and they get lots of clients, or they get a big influx of followers. And then what happens is that because they're not used to that amount of eyes on them, or that amount of money, or that amount of followers, they're like, oh my God, okay, now I've got to perform, now I've got to do something. And they end up burning themselves out because they haven't primed their mindset to handle that level of visibility, money, and responsibility, all the things that come from achieving the success that you actually desire. And so again, you're going to be setting yourself up for success in a much more sustainable way, so that you can continue to generate higher cash months consistently month after month by learning to be able to hold yourself in whatever situation that happens. Because as much as our brain might be like, yay, $1 million, yay, my highest cash month ever, if your nervous system, when you experience that, it's going to be different, which means that your nervous system is going to find it scary because it's something that it's not used to. So therefore, you have to know how to be able to handle any foreign situation that is happening to you from a place of self-compassion, rather than what the fuck are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. And then you have one high cash month and then you go into burnout. You feel really overwhelmed. You're like, I can't handle this. And then you kind of throw it all away. So anyway, we're going on a huge tangent, but I do want to tell you what happened with Bali. And essentially, before I went to Bali as well, I was really nervous about it. And as I mentioned, I wasn't going to go where I felt like I was pushing myself too early. But once this opportunity presented itself, I was like, this is what I want to do. So I ensured that I went on a retreat so that I wasn't just randomly going and wandering the streets of Bali, even though like now upon reflection, I would love to do that again. But I was like, I'm going to go on a retreat where I feel held and supported. I'm going to go on a retreat with someone that I know, Caitlin, who is a past client of mine and also now works with my partner as her life coach. And she's just the best. And I actually did a retreat with her last year, which my partner came on. We did it together. And so I booked this in, and I booked it in 6 months in advance. And I was like, okay, I've got 6 months to kind of like prime myself, get myself ready for it, and just like practice how I'm going to show up in this situation and how I'm going to show myself kindness and compassion. Again, I know those words sound so like soft and weak, but like It is what it is. Practice showing up in kindness and compassion so that when I'm in Bali, that will be the ultimate kind of test for me to really show myself kindness and compassion. And the day before, I was like starting to feel a bit funky. And I was like, okay, I'm probably just anxious. So I'll practice what I preach. I'll be nice to myself. I'll do things that make my life easier. Like, it's understandable that you feel nervous. Of course, you're going to feel fear when you're doing something outside of your comfort zone. Like, not going to let that deter me. And then the next morning I wake up feeling extremely tired and I'm just like, that's weird. Maybe, I don't know, like I'm just getting ready for holidays and my body's just like ready for a break. I don't know. Go to have coffee with my friend. I'm still feeling a bit out of it, but I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just tired. I'll have a coffee. I'll see how I feel. Then afterwards we go for breakfast with another set of friends because I'm kind of doing the catch-up rounds before I head off to Bali. Feel a bit funky, but I'm like, maybe I just need to eat something. So I eat something and then I'm starting to feel really out of it, bit like just not right. And I was like, I'm probably just feeling anxious. They're asking me how I'm feeling about going to Bali. I'm like, maybe that's just making me feel nervous, whatever. We walk to the car. I say to Georgie, I'm not feeling very, like, I'm feeling really nervous, still thinking it's just anxiety, and burst out into tears. I'm like, I'm just really not feeling well. Lie down in the car and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Is this anxiety or am I feeling sick? And I'm kind of just tossing up between it because I have had that anxiety that makes you feel really sick. And then get home. And of course I start profusely vomiting and I'm like, okay, now I'm feeling really, really, really unwell. I don't think this is just anxiety and I don't think I'm going to be able to fly tomorrow because this was the Friday and I was meant to fly on the Saturday. So then I go to bed that night, not really because I'm still vomiting. So sorry, trigger warning for vomiting, but also it is what it is. Wake up the next morning, still feeling horrendous, call Jetstar because that's who I'd booked my flight with. And they're like, nope, you can't cancel your flight last minute. And I was just like, oh my God. Okay. So I've got to pull myself together. I've got to get up and go call my dad, of course, call the parents that can give you reasoning. And he's like, just go and get a doctor's certificate, tell them that you're unwell and go for gold. So we go and get a doctor's certificate. He thinks it's like just a vomiting bug because I basically went to have breakfast and immediately came home and vomited, which like doesn't really make sense if you have food poisoning, because that can take a little bit longer to kind of develop. And also Georgie wasn't sick and we'd been eating the same thing. So I get a doctor's certificate, we call up Jetstar, and for some reason we get a new person on the phone and they're like, yeah, no worries, we'll move you. But the only flight available is on Monday night. So I get bumped 2 nights later. I'm too sick to even care. I cannot even stand up. I cannot even have a shower because I feel so nauseous. The doctor gave me anti-nausea tablets. They literally did absolutely nothing. You also have to eat with them in order for them to work. And so I'm just like in a world of hurt. Like, it was so unbelievably rough. Wake up Sunday morning, start to feel a little bit better, thank God, but really actually relieved that I can't leave until Monday. Finally, Monday rolls around. Georgie drops me to the airport. We're both in tears. Can't believe we're going to be separated. This is the longest time we've ever been apart. We got together in COVID. So, you know, we had a lot of time together. We live together. We spend so much time together. We are absolutely obsessed with each other, but we both knew that it was like the best thing to do. So then I get on the flight, all goes well, watching, you know, reality TV, as is my MO, land, get a private driver to Ubud, which is where the retreat was, arrive at midnight, knowing that I have to get up the next morning at like 6 a.m. to go and do the mindset workshop that we had in the retreat. And like, it was just the best feeling. And this is really my recommendation for anyone that does have that fear around solo traveling or fear around like anxiety in general. When you go and do something and you actually finally face the thing that you continuously wonder about, like it could even be like, oh, what if I just invested in this coach? What if I started posting about this? What if I pivoted my business to this? What if I launched this new offer? What if I have to go solo traveling? Like, I know it sounds like a weird thing to be scared of, but I think a lot of people will resonate with that feeling as well of like, especially when you've had a mental health episode, like what I did. It was like the one thing that my brain would always go to of like, oh my God, imagine if you have to be alone. Imagine if you don't have your comfort people. Imagine if you can't fall back on your family. Like, it was just the one thing that was there. And so going on a retreat, knowing one of the people that was hosting it, was just like the best way that I could have done it. And I remember telling Georgie that, like, when I arrived at midnight at the resort that we were staying at, the room was so dark, like it barely had any lighting. And I'd fallen asleep in the drive because it was like an hour and a half driving. And I remember like getting into the room and like feeling like I was a Sim that like didn't know where to go. Like I was like bashing against the walls and I was like, where's the bathroom? Where's the bed? I couldn't like organize myself. The room was like air conditioned within an inch of its life. So it felt like I was in an esky. I was like, do I have a shower? Do I need some water? They'd like left food out for me, but it kind of had flies on it. And I was like, just like walking around. I didn't know like what to do with myself. I was so like disorientated. Anyway, wake up the next morning and we have the retreat. And on this retreat, it was a mindset, breath work, kind of women's retreat. And it was so incredibly healing because I got to share my story around what really happened to me during that mental health episode with a group of people that I had just met. And the only person that I had ever really told the full story and like all of the intricate details around it, all of the really vulnerable moments was Georgie. And so that's why she felt like such a comfort person, because she was the only person that I would share certain things with that I really like lent on, because she had the full context of things. I was like so reliant on her essentially. And I just had never felt safe enough to talk about it with other people. And honestly, that was one of the most healing experiences, because being able to share it with a group of people who really validated me and just like held the space for me and were interested in what I had to say and didn't make me feel like I was being overly dramatic or too intense or too emotional, like I've often been felt when I've tried to, you know, be vulnerable, was so incredibly healing for me, because it felt like, and that was a big theme of the retreat, of like self-validating myself and being like, it's okay to feel scared. It's okay if you feel anxious. It's okay to feel this way. And again, these things feel so simple, but to actually be consistently practicing them and have a space where that was celebrated was so liberating. And this is something important about running your own business as well. Sometimes you don't need advice from like your coach, but for you to say, hey, this is what I'm going through, and they're like, that's totally normal. That makes so much sense. And they let you know that they've had a similar experience as well, can make you feel so relieved and just like, cool, I'm on the right pathway. I don't need to worry. I don't need to fix anything. Like, it's normal to feel like that. Is so worth your investment, because it keeps you on track. It keeps you moving forwards. And that's what I experience with not only being a part of a mastermind, but also hosting a mastermind with my clients, because everyone can hear from one another's experience and be like, oh, I feel like that too. And just that relatability element, especially as an entrepreneur that's often working solo, that often, you know, their family doesn't get it or their friends are working in corporate, to just know that what you are going through is normal and you're on the right track is so fucking valuable. And that's what I really found as a part of this retreat. Anyway, I only got there on Monday night, started on Tuesday, and the retreat finished on Friday. So it went by so quickly, because obviously my sickness stopped me from having the first couple of days. But, you know, again, really focusing on what you can control. And if anything that this whole anxiety journey, insomnia journey, panic attack journey has taught me, is to get so ruthlessly focused on what you can control. And this is such a skill in business as well, because you can't control when people are going to sign up with you. You can't control when you're going to go viral. You can't control the exact amount of people that are going to sign up with you. But what you can control is how you post up, how you're evolving, how you communicate to your clients, who you're investing in to help you to up level, how many times you're going to post, like all of those things you can control. And I'm really grateful to be so trusting in that, rather than feeling like I need to rush things or try to predict things. Like, it's just not a good use of your energy. And a lot of us logically know that, but find it really hard to actually truly integrate and believe in that. Then that day that the retreat ended, I went with a couple of girls to like this, I don't know what it was. I guess it was like a club, you could call it, where there was like a pool and a restaurant and you could do all of these activities. So you could do one of those giant swings. You could do a flying fox. You could go down slides. You could walk around, take photos, whatever. So we did that, which was incredibly fun. Got to spend the day with the girls. And then it was time for me to venture off on my own and go spend time on my own. And I remember arriving at this Airbnb in Uluwatu, which is down the bottom end of Bali. Oh my God, I just completely blanked. Like where all the cliffs are and the beaches are. Like it's a bit more like coastal, very relaxing. And I had a moment where I was like, oh shit, I'm all alone. It had felt really comfortable in the retreat and having all those women around me and knowing that I was like with other people.
And then in the Airbnb, I had a moment of like, oh my God, I'm all alone. Like, I'm in this Airbnb by myself. I just felt very like confronted with my feelings, and I felt really anxious. And I knew that that would happen. I wasn't expecting not to feel anxious. And this is something to know with business, within your mindset. If you think that the aim of doing shadow work, energy work, mindset work is to not feel anxious and never question yourself and never doubt yourself and never have fear, then you're setting yourself up for failure, because that's not possible. Why we do the shadow work and the energy work and the mindset work is so that we can learn how to better manage those emotions, and we don't become scared of failure, of judgment, of fear, of doubt, whatever it might be. So when I had those feelings of fear, I was like, of course you feel nervous. Of course you do. This has been your biggest fear for a really long time. So naturally you're going to feel like that. And I just spoke to myself in that really soft way, reparenting myself and just like really being there for myself. And it didn't go away straight away. I took myself down for a swim in the ocean, which felt really good. I just allowed myself to have a shower and wash my hair so that I felt really good, and just spoke to myself in a way that my younger self would really have loved, because this is the moment where we actually heal ourselves. And if I had spoken to myself in that moment with judgment, why are you feeling this way? Why can't you just get over it? Why are you feeling anxious? I hate this feeling. You perpetuate the cycle of dysregulation, and you're basically creating a trauma response within yourself, because you're doing what maybe your parents or you're basically doing what you're scared of, which is criticism, judgment, fear, all of those negative things. So that's a moment where it can feel really like you're taking the easy way out. But like the results that I've seen within my anxiety and my business, leaning into that and allowing myself to do that kind of like trustful of surrendering and being kind to myself has been absolutely astounding. Like, I went from having panic attacks almost every day, not being able to sleep, having constant intrusive thoughts, to now feeling so regulated, so calm, and being able to sleep as well. And I slept the whole time through Bali. And that night I was calm to myself. I actually slept until 10 a.m. the next day, which technically, if you think about that, is 12 in Sydney time. I think I was just exhausted from the retreat. And also, because this is the thing with insomnia, like no matter how exhausted you are, your brain just cannot switch off. So I also know that it was because I was being so kind to myself. I wasn't judging myself. I wasn't trying to control situations. And we can apply that to so many different scenarios. Even with money, you can't control when that's going to come to you and when your next client is going to come to you. But what you can control is how you speak to yourself and how you show up. And I guarantee you, it's going to be so much easier to make more money and bring in a client when you practice self-compassion within yourself rather than beating yourself up, because that's not an attractive energy. Like, you're not in your most magnetic juju energy. Like, when you're like hyping yourself up, you're talking about how good your service is, you know what you have to offer, and you don't care how long it takes for you to make money, that is so much more magnetic. And that's kind of the same energy with sleep. When I'm just like, it's going to happen, and I'm okay with the process, and I'm allowing whatever feelings to come up during the time, and I'm not going to judge myself, you have a beautiful, big, long, delicious sleep. Amazing, right? And then the next day, I had one of the best days of my life. I posted it on my Instagram where I took myself out to breakfast, and I was just like really craving being in my own space. I'm a 2-4 in human design like profile, which means that I basically blend like introvert and extrovert together. And after being in a retreat with other people and constantly surrounded by people for 5 days, it was just bliss to have solitude, just going to the coffee shop. And for me, like spending time alone, you know, has been really, really good as well. And I don't necessarily get bored. My fear of being alone was, what if I get anxious and I can't handle it and I go insane, essentially, right? But that day, I just had the most blissful day having breakfast by myself. I went to this beautiful cafe called, is it Suka? Oh my God, I've almost, Suk? I don't know. I've already forgotten now, but it's an amazing cafe in Uluwatu. People know it. There's one in Canggu. There's one in Ubud. And then I went to this beautiful beach club, Sundays Beach Club. You've probably seen it on Instagram. And I just lay there all day. I ordered myself beautiful food. I got this delicious like prawn salad, I think it was. And I read my book and I went for a swim and I just like had beautiful drinks. And it was just like the most magical day. Then I got a scooter home and I met one of the girls from the retreat for a beautiful dinner at this really nice restaurant. And it was just like literally one of the best days where I was like, I'm okay. And I'm always going to remember that whenever I'm feeling anxious, whenever I feel like I can't handle things, whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed, just remember that nothing lasts forever. And like, there are going to always be better days ahead of you. Like, and you can handle whatever life throws at you. So that was basically how the rest of my trip went. I went and got my hair done. I went and got my nails done, and I truly thrived. And I would not have known that had I not have faced my fear. And I would have always wondered, what if? I would have always been scared of it. And like, trust me, I was very nervous about it. The first couple of days, I still felt like, oh my God, am I going to get anxious? And it took me time to regulate my nervous system and really arrive in the space and like trust myself. But it has given me a new level of self-trust that I just would not have, because you can read about it, you can journal about it, you can meditate on it, but nothing is going to give you the evidence, like actually going to do it. And that's why that saying of the only way out is through is so true. And it's so uncomfortable. Whatever it is in your business, you're going to keep thinking about it until you just face it. But afterwards, the reward is always freaking worth it.